Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Welcome to Moore's Moorish Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana El Bay. And tonight, we're going to be dealing with the upcoming Summit of the Moors that will be occurring right here in Jacksonville, Florida in December. And we are getting a head start on this thing so that all of the people across the country can make your way down here. And you get a chance to meet with us. We'll get a chance to meet with you, meet and greet each other, and we can get your vendors lined up so you can bring your wares down here and set up, and you can let us know what you got and what's going on with the products and services and stuff that you're offering. Also, tonight, we're going to be dealing with superfoods. You know, down here, we grow our own food. We have the Moorish Farms and stuff, and I'm over here on the north side. We got our farms and stuff over there where we are dealing with your grapefruits and tangerines and plums and grapes on a vine and you name it. We got it, gardens and all of that good stuff. But we're going to be talking about packaging and the nutritional benefits of what we have to offer. We are talking about organic fruits and vegetables. Now, my special guest tonight will be Brother Diallo Sakur. He's going to join us tonight. And we're going to be ready to go. But before we go down in this, I'm going to run a couple of commercials, and then we'll be back so that we can proceed. So y'all hold on for a minute.
Greetings, family. We're about to embark on the one-year mark of Summit of the Moors. Summit of the Moors is a galvanizing event where we take all Moors from around the planet, and we work on one particular agenda. And we have been working this agenda, and that agenda is three primary things: food, clothing, and shelter. Now, we are working on creating financial sectors owned and controlled by Moors in order to capture and create inheritable wealth for our children. We're talking about investing, partnerships, building, the application of controlling independent agriculture systems, real estate, housing, land, manufacturing, distribution, wholesales. These are the things that will make a nation. These are the things that will secure wealth for our children and our grandchildren's children. Summit of the Moors, January 10th through the 11th. Check us out on the website, summitofthemoors.com. Peace.
The truth is, you must be in business for yourself. Now let's take a look at this. Dial this number, 972-999-9277 for the 2-minute message. When you're done, call Tahaka, 904-303-9061. You got to be in business for yourself. For the hottest business opportunity going today, dial 972-999-9277. That's 972-999-9277. When you're done, call Tahaka, 904-303-9061. Greatest business opportunity this century. Don't miss it.
Okay, everybody, we're back. Now, the commercial I run, it was the same commercial for the Morris Summit that we did last year. However, we do have a new commercial, and we'll be getting the audio on that coming up soon. But I like that commercial because it gives us a complete breakdown and tell you what the Morris Summit is all about. That is when we get together and we put our heads together and come up with solutions to the problems, and we get a chance to patronize one another. We get to share ideas. We get to do a ton of things. I mean, it's when the Moors come together and they're able to connect with one another and in the field of progress, okay? And so make sure that you are here when we have this thing. Don't miss this event. There's a lot of people who have been telling us that, well, I'm going to try to get down there, and I'm going to try to do this and try to do that. You really need to make your way down here. That's going to be December the 14th. That's going to be on a Monday. And that's when we'll have the Summit of the Moors. We will be in the DuPont Center. DuPont Center downtown in Jacksonville. Also, I want you all to keep in mind that in next month, in August, we will be hosting an event at the Marcus Garvey weekend right down here at the beach here, Fernandina Beach in Jacksonville, Florida. So you need to be down here. And you get a chance to rub shoulders with brothers and sisters, because we'll all be down there, right down on the beach. And for those of you in other parts of the country, if you haven't been to Florida, now's a good time to come. Because we will be down on the beach, and we will be having a wonderful time down there. And we'll have speakers who come out. I'll be down there. I'll do a little speaking engagement. And so I get a chance to meet a lot of you for the first time. And so we look forward to you being here. Now, when it comes to nutrition and health, down here, what we do, I'm very, very conscious of the different food products and stuff. And what I believe in is prevention. Before you ever get an illness. That's my position on that. Okay. But before we get down into all that, I see my guests have arrived, so I'm over on the line and bring my brother in. Erico 706, Brother Diallo, you with us?
Absolutely. Peace.
Peace. Welcome, brother.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here. And I know you got some good information to lay on us tonight. So we got a lot of new people in here, and they've probably heard some things about the Summit of the Moors and stuff. Could you bring them up to speed on exactly what the Summit of the Moors is all about, and what is the primary objective of having a summit?
Okay. Well, first, I heard earlier you mentioned you got the date wrong. I tried to post it in the chat here, but Summit of the Moors is a collective for us to combine our economics. So we're dealing with economic security. For those who follow Noble Drew Ali, his main concern, not his main concern, but he told the people it's hard for a movement to move without money. If you look at any of the books he's written about, it's always been economic security, especially when you talk about a people who are in this country and have been oppressed through certain factions and systems. And so only way that we've been able to give power is through economics, in which we build your base upon, not doctrine, not dress codes, not philosophies, but economics. Use that tool, use it as a tool to build the power that we need to be able to empower ourselves and our beneficiaries. So what the summit does is I'm in a good position to be able to kind of talk with all the different Moors or those who are active, non-active, whatever, what have you, and bring them together under one roof. And we want to share information. But before we come into the public, we build in the private, at our cribs, in our personal rooms, and we talk about, and before then, the mission and what it's about, how far it's come, what we're looking for the people, for the speakers to bring to the people. And it's always exciting to me, man, to come and sit with our brothers and sisters that I've known for years and watch from afar. They come in to Jacksonville and enlighten the people of Jacksonville, Florida, with information maybe they've only seen on the internet or heard about, or maybe they even haven't heard anything. But this is another opportunity every year they get the opportunity to be a part of something. Versus, we don't bring it here just for people to come and talk. So I'm gonna want you to travel to Jacksonville and think you're gonna hear somebody talk and give you a certain process or certain things. And you just leave. It's about coming and staying engaged in what it is that we're offering. And that's economic security on every level to create community enclaves so that we can have an area where the children can walk around and play freely. We don't have to worry about somebody breaking in your door because you own and control those homes, those businesses. And that's what the summit is about. Controlling, ownership and control.
Okay. Now, when you talk about some of the Moors, you're talking about a galvanization of all the folks that's got some things going on, and those who maybe have the potential to get some things going on, and those who want to have something going on at the same time need a starting point or be able to see some things in action. That's what I'm getting from it. But it's a very, very powerful event, and I am always amazed when I go there, especially when I see the different organic food stuff that was prepared. That was magnificent. Never seen anything like it, how somebody can make a veggie lasagna. That was outstanding.
Oh. Abundance Child. That's always like my favorite request. When you make it down in Florida, I need to get that lasagna. I mean, she get down. The whole Drop Squad kitchen is dope. I mean, if you're a private member or if you follow her, and you see those pictures every day that they're doing up in Wilmington, Delaware, with the fantastic thing she's doing with the whole vegan movement. Abundance Child is just, she's just that girl. She's that more. Can I say? We got some sisters here that also been dealing with some other foods as well.
Oh, yeah. I taste some. Matter of fact, I got some of that homemade jelly, and that was awesome. And
that's my little sister, Ayana.
Yeah, I want her to make some more of that, but this time I want her to make a mild version. The last time, boy, it was hot. Anyhow, and I still got it, boy. I'll leave that alone. That's a good stuff. I'm going to leave it alone. But anyway, brother, let me ask you this. Now, what do you think when it comes to the Moors and economics? What is it going to take for us to understand that that's the key? Because, I ran into some brothers and some sisters. I put an ad up about the Have Moors versus the Wish Moors. And I had brothers and sisters saying, well, we need to stop thinking about that. We need to concentrate on Jesus. Help me out with that, man.
What will it take? Well, one thing is I have to go from my perspective, kind of what we've been dealing with here in Jacksonville and other places. I've actually been getting back on the road, is we only have to deal with, we have to concentrate on those who are willing to move forward in our same ideals. Our job, to me, where I'm at right now, my space is not to convert or to convince anyone. I'm already sold on the fact, basically looking at the condition in which my people exist in. We have no power politically. We have no power socially. We have no power in our damn house most of the time, which the police can come in and shoot you on your front yard or on your porch in your house pull you out. You understand? So
uh-huh.
only through the financing to be able to secure your realms in which you exist, you can keep praying on Jesus. See, Jesus will tell you, your faith is nothing without works. You understand? So, you know, he was a carpenter. He didn't pray to God that the work would come to him. He went out and went and put the work in. No one went to a church to go see Jesus. Jesus was out in the streets. Okay, so when they talk about they want to follow Jesus, follow the path what the man did. For those who believe in the Jesus guy. But with us, we gotta get into mindset of doing business. Not being so spooked out. Your religion, your way of life is your personal thing. But when we're talking about affecting not only your household, but several households that are your family or your kind or your kindred, then you have to look at a business aspect. You have to have a code of ethics amongst yourselves. So, you know, my thing is this. If you look at yourself like a God, then it was God that created the garden, sustainable lifestyle and sustainable life inside of that garden. And so that would be us taking our neighborhoods, turning them back into communities so that our businesses and our families can thrive. And then we tie into or simultaneously tie into our brothers and sisters internationally. So we, you know, we have to adopt the Pan-African philosophy. It was created in the 60s for us over here to eliminate a lot of the teenage crime that was in the streets. Believe it or not. I was thinking about us over here in America. So the Pan-African thing is a thing that we have to look at and, you know, differentiate on different philosophies. But these are things we have to look and adopt the things that work for us in North America and the things that we can adopt that could tie us internationally with the six other continents.
Okay, so we're talking about creation. We're talking about production, distribution. Could you give us a breakdown on what you guys are doing and some information on your product and stuff?
Sure. Well, you know, after the first summit a few years ago, we started Moore's Eastside Farm. And with that, we created, of course, you know, it's an urban farm aspect. And, you know, we experimented with a few things, but wind up with a very good cash product. Thank you for the sister, Fatima, who came up from Miami and brought us our first moringa tree. And from there, you know, once the research came in about what the moringa tree is and what it does, I was like, oh, this is one of them. This would be the base of creating a self-sustaining economic system from agriculture. So we did the moringa trees, we dehydrate them, we crush them down into powder, we bottle them, we label them, and we mail them out. We created a cash product from the moringa trees. And the same thing with the kale. So the stuff we wouldn't have sold, we dehydrated, we created kale powder, moringa powder, and it's all 100% organic. See, so that's a demonstration on a small piece of property. And so we want to have several small pieces of property in what we're calling the Sankofa region here in Jacksonville. And we want to take this whole entire region and duplicate it in Atlanta, in Chicago, in Texas, in LA, you know what I mean? And further in the Midwest. And so once you have those enclaves, you now have a real community that you can identify with and trade right here inside the borders of North America. Now you have an economic power base collectively that you can say, well, now let's purchase more land in South America. Let's purchase more land in South Africa or, you know, certain parts of Africa, certain countries. So these are just examples, very realistic. It can be done. It just takes people, man, to be consistent and to be able to see the vision and be able to execute the stuff without all the foolishness.
Okay. Now, there are a lot of new people that's listening to us for the first time. If someone wanted to learn more about what you're doing, what are the various websites that they would have to go to?
To learn about what we're doing in Jacksonville, my organization is called the Kemetic Empire, and you can go to thekemeticempire.com. It's just how it sounds, the Kemetic, KEMETIC.com. I'm sorry, Empire, EMPIRE.com. And the nonprofit is Urban Geoponics. It's urbangeoponics.org. That's urbangeogeoponics.org. And so right now with Urban Geoponics, what we have going on right now, we have what's called Sankofa Saturday. It's a curriculum that I created based on a 3-hour program in alliance with the city of Jacksonville, you know, the city created something called Saturday Night Lights, which is done in some other major cities to keep the children busy and out of the streets. They opened up the park hours. They extended the park hours from 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. And so we're on our 4th week. I think we have 3 more weeks left. And so we instituted Sankofa Saturday. So we're coming with an African-centered curriculum, which engages from about 7 to 17 to 18-year-olds. This weekend, we had about 44 children in there. They learned the basic beginnings of entrepreneurship. They learned some African drumming. We went back over the key Swahili words. We always go over chess. You know, we go over the Moorish inventors, the things that we accomplished, not only in America, but in the world, post and pre-slavery. So, the culture and the identity is very important when we're dealing with our children, because that's the investment with me. Yeah.
Okay, now, you say this is on Saturday. Where is this happening at?
This is at Clinsdale Brown Park. Clinsdale Brown Park. It's in the hood, Moncrief.
Okay, but I mean, is it inside the community center there? Is there a community center there?
Yeah. Yes, inside.
Okay. All right.
It's inside.
This is every Saturday at what time on Saturday?
7 to 10. And it's only, we have 3 more weeks left.
Okay. 7 to 10. We got 3 more weeks right there at Clarendale Brown Park. Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, if someone wanted to get a hold of you, what telephone number would they use to contact you?
They can call me at area code 706-284-9808.
Okay. And, I went over there near Kings Road, and I was trying to find the gardens that you was telling me about around the college over there, and I couldn't find it. I ran. I said, I know it's over there, but where is that?
It's up in the cut. So we partnered with Urban Geoponics, partnered with the Newtown. Dr. Irvin Cohen allowed us to come in, and because we left the east side, we left that area and moved over to the EWC area. So it's closest, like right outside the border of what we're calling the Sankofa District. And we're partnered with Dr. Cohen's over at EWC, and there's another nonprofit over there. And they basically were there before us, and so we just kind of let them go ahead. And we came in and redesigned it and brought it in a united way and brought us some other things, some resources for that area. And so we kind of just let them have that. And we got some other properties like right across the street that we're getting ready to develop with some urban farming and another nonprofit called 10,000 Trees. So, and of course, we're still working with legally with Habitat, also trying to sell us the property, but we want it for free. All these empty plots that exist inside our communities, man, just give it up so we can work it. And really, man, it's just really about working, working our agenda, and the people that basically are in the direction of our agenda, either they become alliances or, we just figure a way to do some other things without them if they don't want to cooperate with what we're trying to do, because we're all about the upliftment, literally, of humanity.
Okay. Now, if I got over there, if I went over there and I was right there in front of the main section of the college, where exactly would I look at for the gardens? It would be over there to the left, like going to where Hollis used to be, Jenkins used to be.
What you do is, if you're coming from, let me get exact street. The street is, it's 3rd and Pierce, right on the corner of West 3rd and Pierce Street. So if you come off Kings Road coming from downtown, you're going to make a left on Pierce Street. Come down and you'll see a park on your right. And then immediately to your to the right, you make a right, and you'll see the garden right there. And right across the street from there, we're gonna create a little like a nice botanical area, beautify our area. We got a whole other agenda too with the whole Sankofa district, bring some trees in, fruit trees, beautiful flower trees. That's part of the agriculture.
Now, how did y'all how did you come out with the hair tacky?
Oh, I still got it. No, I still got it. I ain't really. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I wonder if it had been sprouting yet. Cause I wanna see what it looks like.
Oh, the plants. You talking about the plants?
Yeah.
Hold on. I can just walk back into the bag, though.
Okay.
I was back here today. I ain't looked in the pots. I think they were sprouting though. They were taking a while to come up.
Okay. But I know.
They didn't come up.
They didn't come up yet.
Nah, they ain't come up yet.
Okay. Well, we got plenty of rain coming down. It's raining every day down here.
Yeah.
I know they'll be coming up.
I got so many pots back here, man. I'm about to actually go ahead and make sure I'm looking at the right pot. But we got them in the pots. We're drawing them. You know, we planted them.
Yeah. Well, I got some more pots over here I'm going to bring over there. But anyway,
okay.
I want you to...
I prefer you bring some of that high fish, brother. I don't need no more plants.
You don't need no more fish, high fish. I would need...
I'm joking.
It's time for me to do some hot fish, man. I got to cook some more hot fish. I'm try to get. I got to talk with Brother Omar and find out what's happening down on the beach, too. But it's time for me to do some hot fish. So I'm looking at trying to do something this weekend. I'm gonna check my little duckets and see what's going on. But anyway,
you have any? Let me ask you a question. You have any of your people out in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, listening in tonight? I'm going to be there this weekend. You know, we're going to be going over some things. Talking about what we're talking about here. Yeah, Baton Rouge, Louisiana this weekend. I'm back on the road, bringing attention to what we're achieving in Jacksonville.
Okay. That's with the same brothers, tall brothers down there with the bees and the gardens and stuff. You talking about the same guys?
I'm not sure.
You got some?
Okay. I haven't met anyone in Baton Rouge since I lived in New Orleans back in '94.
That's where I was down there with them, man. The boys had a garden. They had plum trees out there with the Chinese plums. They had the bees, and they would process the honey, take it across the street, and make honey over there across the street from where they had the bees. At the bees, they pollinate all the plants and flowers and stuff. Very unique. Same thing that you had going on over here. And so I thought maybe you was gonna go down there and hook up with those guys. Them boys down there had it going on and stuff. But anyway,
yeah, maybe we'll reach out.
I want to talk some more about the economics and stuff, man, because a lot of brothers and sisters don't understand the importance of getting in a position of self-sustainability. And I think that's something that we need to concentrate on, because we're steady looking at trying to get better job, make more money on the job, and get more material things. But we need to start concentrating on creating, putting ourselves in a position where we can be self-sustaining in the event, I mean, to the point where if we don't have no money, it's no big deal. We're going to eat every day. We're going to still be able to move and do what we got to do. So could you paint a picture of how you are doing this? You know, I mean, because you're a living example. I mean, I come to your house, you know, it's about your back door. It's like stepping in the Garden of Eden. So I explained to the brothers and sisters what you're doing, how you doing this thing, man, and so that they will have the knowledge of knowing how to do the same thing for themselves.
Well, we're talking about doing business, man. It's just a matter of finding something that you want to enjoy, you want to do. That, you know, you may not even be good at it, but you just have to figure out a way to get good at it. And it's not so much of what it is I'm doing. I think most people that are successful, and I don't think I'm like successful like some, some billionaire guy. It's just that I'm happy every day, man. I'm really, you know, I'm not stressed out or anything. I don't let a lot of things stress me, especially stuff you can't control. And I think, and I've been saying this for the last 2 weeks to a lot of my partners, is when we look at the people that's at the top of their field, they're at the top of their field because they're willing to sacrifice. They're willing to lose some sleep. They're willing to lose a few friends. They're willing to lose a few things because they see the vision that they're executing at the end of the road. And I think that, you know, when we're complacent, you know you're complacent because you're not really pushing yourself to expand on what it is that you want to expand on. And I think that everybody may not want to expand. You have people that want to go back into the matrix. They don't want to be in Zion. They don't want to travel back and forth. They want to go to, like, the one dude from the main one. Hey, man, put me back in there, make me like a movie star, and I don't want to remember none of this shit, okay? So you have those people who, and they've been basically conditioned to be a worker. And you have some of us that are just like, well, I'm going to be a worker, but that work, if I work for you, is going to go towards, you know, my financial freedom to doing my own thing. And so, you know, I have something. I have my own personal goals that I like. I want to make, you know, $1,000 a day. So what do you do to make $1,000 a day? You create five entities, or you just keep playing scratch off. Either way it go, you're working towards, you know, what it odds you making, you know, $365,000 in a year. So, you know, you set up things, you know, you look at things that are volume and high volume, low price, low volume, great quality product. You look at things that are residual and income. You look at things that you can flip. And it's not hard. It's just a matter of some people have to have a savvy about themselves and have to be astute to study. And that's a mental thing. That mental thing, you know, you don't get that in college. That's just something that's in you. That either you've created the things around you, create that condition in you, or, you know, you already, it just became something, you know, that just came out of you. And so I always look for partnerships with old friends or people who are similar in my mentality in a line of business. Or if I don't partner with them, I just want to learn. I'm always going to be a student. I'm never too old to learn business, different ways of business, because, you know, the wise man knows the more he reads, the more he realizes he knows nothing. And so, you know, there's another adage about you only can go as far as your circle can go. So if all my circle, if I have five friends, all my circle of friends, they all work at the warehouse, or they work at, they may be a GM at a chair company or some tech company, and, you know, and that's all they do, then that's as far as my resources will be able to reach. Unless I create my own resources and become one of those friends whose circle goes beyond the 9-to-5 person who smoke blunts and go out on the weekends and just like to take trips out of town and come home, versus you know, someone who said, well, I do 60-hour work weeks working for myself, trying to figure out something, always figuring out and adjusting methods to make it easier and convenient for myself and my family so that I could travel or buy what I want to buy without it hurting my pockets. So it's a number of things to Hawker, to be honest with you. You know, we started up a design company out my garage. We have the agriculture piece, and it's all been kind of just simmering. I don't ever want anything to blow up, because once it blow up, it's done. It's like a flare. It goes up, it's big, it's beautiful, and it's gone just as quick as it went up. So we just kind of want to kind of have a nice leverage of coming up. So we got the agriculture. We have the design things coming up. We'll be moving into, we're always doing a real estate thing, small, but because there's a school here we have been looking at for the nonprofit. It's just about lining up so we can try to make it probably more so a dorm. And that's the black psychologist here set something up like that years ago called Jedi, where it'd be like a military type school where the children can come and stay versus, you know, being at the house with the parents. So we're looking to try to pick that up from them. And similar to what Umar Johnson's been out there doing on the road, you know, we I know the brothers struggle for a city, for Philly. It's the exact same thing here in Jacksonville. And it's a few things we got going on. You know, it's just a matter of, man, actually, and after that, you know, you got to make sure that your body and your mind is in the shape, in shape to be able to go through what it is that you're going to be putting yourself through to achieve what it is that you want to achieve. And that's why I think health, you know, health, it all goes hand in hand. It's a holistic approach. You know, health is number one. The mental sanity is number one. Physical body, you know, the foods that you're eating, you know, the way that you're treating people, all that stuff is important.
Okay. Now you just, because I'm trying to figure out of all the different avenues that you could have went, you chose to grow food and get into agriculture. Was it something else that you thought of that, I mean, what led to you settling on just saying, well, look, this is the route that I'm going? What was it that led you into settling on that? Was it looking at the big picture? What was it?
It's always the bigger picture, man. And, you know, you wouldn't settle on food. So no one lives without food. You know, if you sit back as a businessman, you say, okay, well, you know, we need food, clothing, and shelter. Three primary things all human beings need: food, clothing, and shelter. Now, where does the so-called black man or woman fit in when it comes to producing food for a city, a community, the people themselves? It's in a very, very small, finite space for themselves. They're more so the producer, more so the consumer of the food product in America. So you are in a dependent state. I'm a little hard-headed, man, so I'm always looking to be free, you know, from all this shit. Whatever it is that I'm depending on, hell, if I could figure out a way to get the involuntary system, the voluntary system, just to do what I tell it to do, I'd be trying to figure that out, too. So, I want to control every aspect just so I can say at least you have more options when you're in the controlling seat. So we don't control food. And it by getting in the food game, we are able to create jobs. We're able to say that we're manufacturing something, even if it's something small. Just like the brothers and sisters out there that make jewelry, they're manufacturing something. They just got to get it to a point, like we have to get to a point where the demand is big enough where we create a payroll and we put our family members on. We train them on that. We bring volunteers in. We get students to come in and look at this very small operation that's doing it. It's the exact same. It's the thing that runs America, man. It's small businesses, and it's just like the dope game that funds a lot of this other stuff. You know, they create several jobs. They have several products. They have distribution. You understand? So with the food thing, it's a necessity, number one, so we can control our food and get our children and their minds and their bodies back in balance with nature. Get them off of this genetically modified foods and drinks that they eat, off of the sugars. When you look at these little boys with the pants sagging and they all thin, it's because they're always in a defensive mode because their diet is off. The corner store, when you walk in, there are four containers full of beer and soda. So it's all sugar. The potato chips, the candy, the liquor, the beer, when you walk in the corner stores in our communities. And that's what these children are eating. And they have no idea what proper foods to eat. When a parent tells me, oh, my child doesn't eat vegetables, what the hell you mean? Who's the parent in this relationship? What's the importance of the vegetables? So there's an education process that has to take place, and it's almost mute when it comes to adults, but it's worth it when it comes to the children. So that's why you have to create an environment where you can teach that and show the examples of that. And so with the Sankofa Initiative, you get the housing, you get every little empty plot. Don't let the empty plot sit there. Take them, do what we need to do, and let's grow the food. Let's create small playgrounds in these areas. So the food thing, if you have, for example, you know, I introduced it at the first summit. If we have a street full of people that agree to the things that we were talking about in the summit, same thing in Texas, Chicago, Alabama, but let's say you have 10 cities that say we're all going to go with the same Sankofa initiative. We're going to have Sankofa district. Okay, and here we're going to have food supplies, eliminating food deserts. But it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that with us eliminating food deserts. We're just trying to live. And then eventually get to a point where we can create the jobs and the whole thing. So now with 10 different cities on the same page, we now can distribute food to 10 different cities. You understand what I'm saying? You would have a built-in distribution amongst the 10 partnerships. It's the exact same thing the 13 colonies were doing, except we'll be doing it amongst our small communities. So you get the farm, you know, you concentrate on one area first and get it going. Then you duplicate it. You get the food up, and then you got the whole, you have an entire, listen, there's so much money the government has for agriculture, but we haven't been in place. Like the man said in the book, we weren't at the table. We weren't at the table when they were talking about business. We was out dancing and running, trying to be happy versus getting in this hard work and understanding the business, the mathematics, and science of money, the so-called money. So we got a lot of catching up to do. And it's just, you know, I like the agriculture, man. To me, it's like a precursor before you become an activist. So, you know, you want to be into the community, then you should understand how you have to till the ground and get it right to be able to plant something or get some type of business started. Boom, you drop the seed. Then you have to take care of the community. You got to make sure that people understand and that you're engaged with the people with the vision and everybody's on a collective vision. So that's watering it. And then you got to come out and weed. You got to weed and seed, make sure the weeds stay out. Man, you know, that's patrolling your area, man. That's make sure everybody's on the same page with. Don't bring the dope, don't cry, none of this. This, you know your neighbor. So, and it's good for you, man, to get back to the earth. The children love it. You know, children understand and actually see where carrots come from, where kale comes from, where all the dark green leafy vegetables and how it works. And these are always learning or teachable moments out inside the garden. I mean, it's a lot of stuff, man. You know, this is all astrology when we get into, you know, planting and the farmer's almanac. That's all African stuff. We just lost it.
Okay. Now, do you use an almanac when you're planting and harvesting?
I do. I have one planted. I mean, it's on my kitchen. Kitchen Wong. I talk to the stars when it comes to people in my organization. I need to know everybody's birthday. I need to know your birthday. I need to know who it is and what's the energy around me. I try to stay in tune with nature. All right, listen, I already had the shells throw down on me and give me a reading who I am and, you know, what I walk with, you know. So that's my personal thing.
How long do you think it's going to take for us to wake up and start implementing these things that you're talking about?
Well, I think we're already up, brother. I think we've moved into an age where people call what's been called is the age of Cepheus, and that's in the stars. It's called the Ethiopian ruler, Cepheus, if people ever looked that up. We've been in it, and it's been small signs of what we're calling, you know, a rulership or us getting back to a position and awakening in which we're coming from. See, it takes work. It didn't happen overnight, so we won't get out of it overnight. I think that if you're in the struggle, in the fight, you see it, just like you see everything else. But if you're not in it, you don't see. Only thing you see is what you've always been seeing. So it's the same thing as if you're either part of the solution or part of the problem. See, I'm in it. So I know I get the inboxes, the phone calls. I get that. And I hear people who want to be a part of something, who want to move our people forward. And they understand, like Kwame Ture said, you need to be inside of an organization because you get burnt out, beat up when you're by yourself. And when you're a lone ranger, you're not getting anything done. You're turning the wheel. So I think, man, you know, with consistent and remaining consistent and the self-determination, you know, we make the moves that we need to make. And the people wake up. And I don't think it's not for everybody to wake up. You know what I mean? It ain't for everybody. Everything's not for everybody. So the things that we're doing, you know, everybody, you know, you get people that are discontent in how you achieve it, how you hold your meeting, how you hold your festival. They ain't like this, they ain't like that. But guess what? They didn't do that. We did that not for them, for the people who never had the opportunity to have it done for them. So, hey man, it's happening. Engage, but we're so that Western mentality of individualistic symptoms, man, it just keeps us separated.
Okay. Now, in the area over on the west side where y'all working at now, are y'all getting quite a bit of community participation with the gardens and stuff, even the trees and stuff you're growing over there?
Now we left that to the nonprofit that's over there now. What we're focusing on are the human beings with the Sankofa Saturday. We have a full year agenda laid out. And we're working in the back rooms. We're working with getting these properties so that we can make a bigger impact versus just keep doing these small little plots, man. And it's an issue with, you know, and it's a learning lesson. It's an issue when people allow you to utilize their property. You know, you're at their base, so you're at their mercy versus when you go to cop that or they surrender the property over to you, it's something different. So what we've been focusing on, man, is the people. So after this, we'll get back to our monthly community forums and engaging the people about the Sankofa initiative. And that engagement entails the agriculture. It entails everyone putting their money in this one particular so-called black-owned bank on Myrtle Avenue. It entails the men stepping out more and being seen more. It entails creating a culture center. These are all the things that we need have to have if we're going to be able to be in order to have some type of existence inside the city that you live in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there's no doubt in my mind that you all are productive over there. And we still got our little thing here on the north side. We're going to this year, I plan to video the beatings that we be taking out here trying to get all them grapefruits and tangerines off the tree. It's usually a 2 or 3 day event, but this time I'm gonna videotape this thing, and so that we can put this stuff up and let folks in the country know that this is real down here, and we're growing it, and we're doing what we got to do, and I want to get you all over here so y'all can see our little thing back here. But most of the stuff that harvest time for us would be in the winter months. After the first freeze, that's when we'll start picking the stuff up and off the trees and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't deal too much with the gardens, but we do pick the fruit off the trees.
Yeah, man.
So now, when you was talking about real estate, y'all just looking at. You're not looking at houses, y'all looking at buildings like apartment complexes and stuff too. Is that included in that?
Well, my thing is this: when you're in the area that's dilapidated, it's opportunity.
Yeah.
Whenever there's something negative, there's opportunity, man. We just have to stay. We have to keep a clear head and optimistic about the positions that we're in. So with me, when it comes to trying to make money, the only thing that I say is buy up the hood. Buy it up. It's cheap. It's right there. And if you take control of it, we have to have a little bit more than just, we're just going to buy properties, because we're putting people that we know inside the buildings, the houses. That's what we want to do. And we want to make sure that our properties are secure. And that's what is forming our own security comes from there. And that will come out of the Aboriginal Gun Society. So that's happening too. So yeah, it's basically just buy the houses, man. Buy everything up in the hood. Think about it. If I'm on 16th Street and I got 10 empty houses on 16th Street, and I put my family members, my partners, everyone that could afford and think like us on that street, we're now the majority stakeholder on 16th Street. And then we just move over to 17th and 18th and 19th. And, you know, and part of the plan is we're securing your property. You know, all of us are securing our properties and our children, because that's what we want. We want for our children what we used to have. You know, back in the day, at my age of 43, I could walk out the house as a child, and the children were already there. We already knew each other. Today, in 2015, mm-hmm. the parent has to take the child to a disclosed location, but to another location where all the children are gathered, and then take them out. You know what I mean? There's no commune taking place organically like we used to. You know, we've got to be picked up somewhere with the kids. So,
yeah,
you know,
right about that.
You know, I want that back. Yeah.
But man, we used to wake up every morning, and the same crew was meeting out on the pavement. Me and my brother was aware, and my cousin, they were catacornered, and Buster and Danky and Papa were down the street, and Dub and Johnny and Jimmy was on the other end, and Marvin and Kokomo would cross the street. So we would, every day we meet up, we form our little committees and try to determine how we was going to make some money, and buy some cookies and potato chips and candies, and go get fruit and dates and plums and pecans. Yep. And yeah, man, you're absolutely right about that. The community aspect.
That came about because the owners, who owned the homes, their children didn't want the houses anymore. They would leave and go to college or leave and go to the city, and that property would sit there and it would be abandoned after, you know, grandma, aunt, dad died or whatever, or somebody from out of town owned the, you know, auntie from out of town owned it, and she just rented it out. She, you know, they kept the property in the family house, but they just rented it out. And so those same children that went to college never came back, brought those resources back to the community or the city. They stayed out of town and enriched another city that wasn't a part of their legacy. You understand? Mm-hmm. So when you have you have tens of thousands of people doing this every day, every year, our community, which our people, a lot of our people already don't like, because it's us, they're living next to us, or some people that are making our neighborhoods bad, then they just leave. And so those houses, now which used to be owned by the families that have been there for generations and now just renters. And those renters have no real stake or investment inside that neighborhood. So you're left from a community to a neighborhood. So you don't know who's two doors down from you. You just see them every day when you go to work, when you're coming home, or somebody, you know, cutting yard. Nobody comes out and play anymore. It should look crazy. Nobody's, the baby boomers, people before the baby boomers, you know, the lifestyle when you had people was having babies, three babies at a time, three, four, five babies, moms in the crib. That's not what's taking place now. No mother's in the house because she got to work. The father may not or may be in the house, but either way, he's at work or he's unemployed. And they aren't giving, we aren't having as many births as we used to have 40 to 50 years ago. It's now like one and a half versus three to four. So the whole lifestyle, the community changes, the whole corporation called the United States has to adjust to that. The whole Social Security, all that thing, all of that plays a part of how we live. So it plays a part on the economic economy also. So we just have to be cognizant of those type of things.
Well, based on what you all are doing, y'all are pretty much sending this thing in reverse. Could you describe for us how would you go about transforming a neighborhood into a thriving community? Could you give us the steps of doing that?
Yeah, one, you got to make sure that it's always the force that's going to go out and initiate that. They got to be strong. And, you know, you got to have a strong team, man, who really believes in, you know, transforming neighborhoods back to communities. The other thing is engagement. That's number one on the list outside of having a strong team, outside of having a good plan as well. You can go to CommitAgainFire.com and see that Sankofa initiative. So you got to have that plan, strong team, and part of the plan, the key to that plan is engagement on every level. Now, you don't ever see anybody inside the so-called black community, unless it's a Jehovah's Witness on Saturday mornings, or it's political season. Outside of that, nobody's coming to your neighborhood door-to-door. That's what we come in at. We do door-to-door because it's important for older folks to see that, man, there's people out here that still care about them, that don't want them to be prisoners inside their own homes because young niggas is ignorant in the streets. Even the young ones, it's important for them to see that these same dudes are just like them, still here, coming through, knocking on the doors, checking on them, and having monthly forums, man, monthly community forums. But to me, the key with the forum is not necessarily, we already know what the problem is. We've always said we know what the problem is. We're not here to hear no problem. We know what that shit is. We're here to give you a solution that's adjustable according to, you know, the particular situation. So we have a plan, and here's what our plan is. We're asking you to join along with our plan. And the plan is covers everything that's our problem inside our neighborhoods. And so it's important to also have partnerships with your organization because, you know, you have people, you don't, you know, people will overlap you or you'll overlap other organizations with what you're doing. And you're not necessarily trying to bring, you know, some HIV test or some chicken wings. You know, you might want them to, you know, people that to have social organizations out there to be able to, you know, to kind of quarterback them with your initiative, and so we can get some things done, you know, lining up financing. So for the people inside your organization, when it comes to making personal wealth or financing, say, listen, collectively, if we got 10 people, let's collectively put together $500-$600 and let's go buy some property. We're not going to get rich off the first two or three, but we can say we at least own some property that could be left to our children. So let's get it. That's how it is, man. That's the plan in a nutshell. And, you know, we got to be stern even when it comes to the city, having an open dialogue with the sheriff or the police officers in your area, having an open dialogue with the city council person or I don't know what they may call it in other cities, that's over your area, and attending these meetings, creating meetings. The whole deal is to create your own platform and never yield off of your platform. You understand? Listen to what the people are saying and adjust accordingly. Mm-hmm. But you have to always be in a position of, you know, championing the cause of the area. And that's what we're doing.
I agree. Okay. Well, brother, I'm going to open up the phone lines and say that if there's anybody out there that have a question for our guest, the phone lines are open. And the number to dial into the broadcast is 310-982-4184. That's 310-982-4184. Go ahead and press 1 on your dial. Let me know you're in the queue. And I can open up the line so you can get in. Brother, you've been talking to us for a little while, so we're going to take a little quick break. And when I'm done, we'll be right back, okay?
All right.
All right.
You know, getting out of debt should be a number one priority. And to do that, just go to newdebtelimination.com. That's www.newdebtelimination.com. But now, when it comes to owning your own business, dial 972-999-9277. Again, 972-999-9277. For a quick 2-minute message. When you're done, contact Tahaka, 904-303-9061. That's 904-303-9061. Get in business for yourself. Stop messing around. Stop going on these jobs and get into a business that you own and you control so that you can be free. Dial 972-999-9277 for a quick 2-minute message. Then call Tahaka, 904-303-9061.
Greetings, family. We're about to embark on the 1-year mark of Summit of the Moors. Summit of the Moors is a galvanizing event where we take all Moors from around the planet and we work on one particular agenda. And we have been working this agenda. And that agenda is 3 primary things: food, clothing, and shelter. Now, we are working on creating financial sectors owned and controlled by Moors in order to capture and create inheritable wealth for our children. We're talking about investing, partnerships, building, the application of controlling independent agriculture systems, real estate, housing, land, manufacturing, distribution, wholesales. These are the things that will make a nation. These are the things that will secure wealth for our children and our grandchildren's children. Summit of the Moors, January 10th through the 11th. Check us out on the website, summitofthemoors.com. Peace.
Okay. Brother Diallo, we back. The number to get a hold to Brother Diallo is 706-84-9808. Website, www.thecometicempire.com. And then there's www.urbangeoponics.org. And there's summitofthemoors.com. These are the websites that you should go and visit. Brother Diallo, how much is that moringa powder, man? How does it come and how do we get it?
You can just email me at dollar1@comcast.net. And for the 8-ounce moringa powder, it is 25. And for the family size, 16 ounces, it's 40. And that commercial you just played was from last year. You need to update that one there, brother.
Yeah, I know. But
we gonna
get the oven up there, but in the meantime, that's the that explains exactly the foundation of what Summit of the Moors is about. I don't think the
absolutely,
it ain't changed. It's still the same. So it's no problem. We know that the summit's gonna happen in December this year, and we're gonna be right here in Jacksonville, Florida. And we got plenty of time because we're going to come back and we're going to make some more announcements about this and own up to its time for this thing to happen so we can get this this thing rolling one more time. So, and this is, to me, this is something that ain't got no business going away. We can't.
Let me say who we got. We have this year for the first time in Jacksonville, we have the elder, the grand teacher, Taj Tariq Bey. We'll have from High Frequency Radio, Yusuf L. We'll have my brother from Chicago, Akili. We'll have Red Pill and Blue Pill back. We'll have Abundance Child back. And we'll definitely have Tahaka Amana L. Bay back in the building. Some of the Moors, December 19th through the 20th. So big, we had to make it 2 days. You don't want to miss
well,
this.
I have to throw up tents and stuff and get the fish going, and I hope everybody come on over so we can get some of that good deep fried fish with my special recipe. So we're gonna do some of that and do the vegetables and stuff up and have that going. I think I might try to do some of the macaroni salad because we got one of them going too. I don't know, but we'll see. But we're definitely gonna have the hot fish going and stuff, and I'll be down in the house, and I'm looking forward to meeting the brothers. I haven't gotten a chance to meet Taj, and I haven't met Brother Yusuf in person yet, so I want to get a chance to meet him, too, coming on down here. So I'm really looking forward to it. We're going to have a good time. So, ladies and gentlemen, make sure that whatever you do, that you are here in Jacksonville, Florida, in December to the Summit of the Moors. Make sure you mark it on your calendar. And that's going to be on December the 14th. That's on a Monday.
December 19th.
We'll be in the DuPont.
19th.
December the 19th. 19th. Okay.
19th through the 20th. Yeah, that's a Saturday and Sunday.
All right, well, hold on. Let me make that. I don't know how I got 14th. Switch that over. December the 19th and the 20th. S-U-M-M-I-T Summit of the Moors. Okay, brother. All right, well, tell us now. You said you got 8 ounces. And you got 16 ounces. But now,
yeah,
there may be some people listening that do not know the benefits and the nutritional benefits of the moringa powder. Give us a breakdown on that.
Well, first of all, the moringa tree is a tree out of Asia and Africa. And it contains several high qualities in it, man. That's beneficial. It's 10 times the vitamin C of carrots. It's 1.5 times the amount of vitamin C in oranges. 17 times the amount of calcium milk. 15 times more potassium than bananas. 25 times the amount of iron of spinach. And 9 times the protein of yogurt. All in this powder. And because it's a dehydrated powder, it's even more concentrated than it would be as a leaf.
Okay, and how do we go about ingesting that?
Now, you can put it on your salads. You can eat it like you would normally eat a powder. Some people put it on their foods. I personally like it in the morning. I drink like real lemonade. It's not made from concentrate, any sugars, anything like that. I throw me a heaping spoonful in, throw it in the bullet, hit it up, take it to the head.
I got some 411 on the moringa, and I'm going to rattle off a little dab of this right here also.
Okay.
Because we really need to know this here, man, because this stuff here is awesome. It says that, moringa is used for tired blood, anemia, arthritis, and other joint pains. let me see, rheumatism, asthma, cancer, constipation, diabetes, diarrhea, epilepsy, stomach pain, stomach ache, and intestinal ulcers, and intestinal spasms, headache, heart problems, high blood pressure, kidney stones, fluid retention, thyroid disorders, and bacterial, fungal, virus, and parasitic infections. Moringa is also used to reduce swelling, increase sex drive. Let me repeat that again. It increases sex drive. Okay, yeah, that's what it said. As an aphrodisiac, prevent pregnancy, boost the immune system, and increase breast milk production. Some people use it as a natural supplement or tonic. Moringa is sometimes applied directly to the skin as a germ killer or dyeing agent. Astringent. It is also used topically for treating pockets of infection, abscesses, athlete's foot, dandruff, gum disease, gingivitis, snake bites, warts, and wounds. That is a very powerful plant, brother.
Yes, it is.
You say you take you a shot of that every morning.
That's right.
I know you don't be sick.
No, sir.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you need to get some of this raw organic moringa straight out the ground, straight grown, straight, no chemicals, no GMOs, none of that, just raw organic moringa powder. We got it right down here. The brother got it in 8 ounces jars for $28. I'm $25 for 8 ounce jar. If you need 16 ounces, then ain't nothing but $40. And I mean, for that kind of power, that's just a drop in the bucket. $40 for 16 ounces, $25 for the 8 ounces. And all you got to do is call the man, 706-284-9808. And I'm telling you right now, before they start calling you, I'm coming over there this weekend. I need me another batch. I'll bring you the money over there. Give me another batch. Another batch. Stack up on it, because I know this thing will be finna go with the quickness. But anyway, give us some more insight on the production of your kale. Tell me a little bit about what's the kale? What's the benefits of that kale?
Well, it's actually the exact same thing when it comes to the production of kale. Some people like kale. I don't really like kale unless somebody have to make it. But you have to. One of the things I learned from a friend of mine, she makes a good kale salad. My partner Outlaw makes a good kale salad. You will massage that leaf and make it a little soft, because sometimes it's real tough.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's good for diabetes. It's good for heart disease, cancer. Of course, digestion. The same thing with the skin. Because it's packed with the particular nutrients that's in it. It is also considered a superfood as well. It's high in fiber, potassium, vitamin C, B6 content. It's high in all of that. So what we do is the stuff that we didn't eat, and if it's left out there, we just take it and dehydrate it so we don't make any waste. But what I did for myself, I just did what I call it my superfoods in a jar. I put the kale, the moringa, and some dried echinacea. I put in it. It's nasty. I don't know what to do, but I just figured put it all together and drink it. Put the superfoods in.
You don't
herbs.
Know what to do. What you do.
Think what to do.
Well, I tell you what. I'll be in the gym, because we got the gym open up now. And so in the morning, I'll take my supplements, and then I'll get me a teaspoon of that moringa. And I'll sprinkle it on my, because I'm only going to eat just a little patch of something to have in my stomach you know, while we go through the little workout. But I'll sprinkle that meringue on in, and I'll take that and drink the water on down, and it's time to open up. You know, I'm able to get in there and function, and it's fantastic, man. I'm so glad we have that. And then later on, I'll probably drink a big glass of Harry Tacky down. And but I, all through the day, I'm taking something. But I found out that when it came to that kale, because I had a hard time with kale, I was figuring out, trying to figure out a way, how am I going to get this down? And so I said, well, look, what I'll do is I'll get my juicing machine. And I'll get me some apples and put me down some apples and some kale. And that way I'm able to drink it on down. And so I was able to do it that way. And every so often, you know, I'll do that. But I got to get some of that organic kale from you so I can sprinkle it in the little ninja machine and sprinkle it, spin it around and drink it down right quick and then get on out there and do what we got to do.
Yeah, for them, you know, those big red meat eaters, this kale is good for you because it reduces strokes as well. And it's a lot of people out here catching these strokes these days, man. A lot of this stuff is primarily dietary. So we got to take care of ourselves when we eat our foods. And we got to teach our children what we're eating and what the food does versus just telling them to eat it. And it's good for them. You know, they need to be empowered and educated as well.
Okay, so your kids not only eat the fruits and vegetables, but they can tell you what's in it and what it's designed to do.
Yeah, I wouldn't put them in front of an audience just yet, but they understand the benefits of what they're eating because it's me, man, with my boys. I'm always like, you know what this for? This. I every moment is a teaching moment with me and my children. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, they ain't never forget it. You got to get them out there on the ground and let them plant their own little plant and take responsibility for their pot. They plant
right.
And win the water and all that. And they'll grow up and learn, man. Shoot, I was a kid, man. I had a garden, man. I had a beautiful little garden, man. I ain't had number 2 inches of ground, but I grew me a little garden, and man, it was going so good. I was picking the little handful of string beans and bring them in the house, and I said, "Well, I'm finna grow me some watermelon." I put some watermelon seeds down in the garden to kill everything. And my mom would say, "Boy, you do good till you put the watermelon seeds in there." I said, "Well, I didn't
choked
know
everything,
man,
you
know." They were growing all under the house, man. And I say, well, shoot.
Yep.
I say, well, since they're growing, I'm going to just let them grow the watermelon. And I ain't had nothing but watermelon because everything else was dead.
Yep.
But it was a learning process, and I never forgot it. And so I want to get a bigger parcel so I can grow some other stuff. And I really want to do that aquaponics and stuff. Is that going to be in y'all plans here in the near future?
Well, you know, we looked at the aquaponics, and I just came up with this. I just don't think it's a good thing financially for a small operation. I think if you're going to do, if you want to have a look, and you know, you're inside an industrial location, aquaponics is good. But me, I don't see where I got to keep buying something to put in the pot, and buying poles and all this other shit when I can just put it in the ground and make it grow.
Okay.
The old-fashioned way versus the mechanical isms to grow the food. I think it's a good demonstration. Again, you know, if you're living inside confounds, and that's what that was because it was Walt Disney that created that whole aquaponic movement. They grow food in 30 days in the underground thing. That's where it comes from.
Okay.
So they labs. So, you know, it looks good. You know, it's something good to be able to teach our children to show different ways to grow food, you know, in a small space. But I think if we were to move into a larger area and get into some real commercial of moving products, I think it'd be a good thing. But for the urban farms, is Not as much.
Okay. Well, you mentioned earlier, you mentioned about the real estate and stuff, but let's talk a little bit about investments. And you also mentioned banking. And what about the credit unions and stuff? Could you give us a little elaboration on that, how you see that?
What's the question? The
investments outside other than real estate that you may have on the board, and when it comes to banking, in regards to credit unions opposed to banks, how you see that?
Okay, well, I think one of the main keys is to have other entities doing business for you, not you personally doing it. So you have to set up your whether private trusts, public trusts, LLCs, unincorporated, non-for-profits, whatever it is that's really going to be doing business, you need to set those entities up and let them get to work for you, because those entities can do things and go places where you can't go, i.e. the Matrix. And one thing you should always be looking at is, you know, trends. What are the trends Americans, Asians, people around the world are spending their money on? So they have websites set up to even check the trends. And then what you do, you buy into the trends. And then you become a person who's investing into the trending people of the planet. And then, you know, go e-commerce. Can't lose it. It's almost like a residual income. That's something I've been doing for a minute. And, it's really about studying your craft. Whatever craft you're going to get into, you know, whether it's business or psychology, whatever it is, you got to study it. And you got to, you know, you're going to have some money to be able to lose, because that's all a part of it, because, you know, you basically depend on human beings to buy a product that you're putting online. I like the e-commerce thing, but I also like, I love buying properties, man. It's just, you know, you get into the property thing, but I like doing it as a group. I like group economics, because it's an example. Once you come out on top, you show the people that, yo, I can work with somebody that looked like me. I can work with five people that look like me, and we can get this money and give it to our families. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, when you get into the credit bureau things, if it's your entities, the entities should have, you know, their own line of credit. And guess what? Let me give you an example. Let's just keep. I'm in Florida. I have business A, and so I created a line of credit with Duns and Bradstreet. I may have did Experian, their thing, some other people, some other things, and you know I got $10,000 off. You know, after built up $5,000 to $10,000 line of credit or cash. But what if I had done this in five other states at the same time?
Uh-huh.
What type of money am I talking about?
Got a lot of money.
You
now.
Follow me?
So yeah.
If I did business A in Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Texas, and I maintained them with their own addresses in their prospective locations, and I did the Office Max revolving credit and revolving cash, and then I went in for the loans of $5,000. So if I did 5 to 10, let's say I did 7,000, I got a line of credit or business cash for 7,000 in five different states. 7 times 5, it's $35,000.
Uh-huh.
If, you know, if you move them on up to 100, just depends. It's different ways to look at how to do business. It's right there. We just have to execute. Uh-huh. Can't be scared, man. And then guess what? If you default on a loan, what you do at the corporation? Shut it down. Start over again. You know.
Okay.
I'm not saying go and default a whole bunch of stuff, but, you know, this is business. This is why some people can be billionaires one day, bankrupt the next, and be a billionaire again. You know, you have to understand strategies. But, you know, some of these people just into that. They're in a position to be that way. We just have to adjust ourselves to be in a position to get in the game and understanding how to take advantage of it so we can take care of ourselves. Our picture has to be bigger. Someone said, you know, we can't see the frame because we're inside of the picture. You got to step out and you have to literally make a 180. Yeah, you have to make a 180 and take a look at what it is that you've been doing. Credit, you know, again, with the bank, the business credit is good. I think those are fine. And, you know, if you want to deal with your personal credit, man, you know, you take a look at certain ways. You know, we setting up a small credit repair thing, not like these other people where something comes back on your credit, but something where we can clean it up. You know, we want to create partners, man. We want people to walk with us where we can purchase these 4 units, 15 units, 20 unit apartments. If you want to keep it. If you don't, you know, do what you want to do with it, what people have been doing with it. And again, that's why we have a nonprofit. You set up more than one nonprofit. Why? Number one, you can do things that normally you couldn't do personally. So, for example, I do have people I know that own these businesses, and I went to them about their sales tax. Your sales tax, you can give a certain percentage of your sales tax through the state, of course, not through you and just me, but there's a thing set up for the state that your sales tax can donate a certain amount of your sales tax to my nonprofit, and we could go and build low-income houses. But you know what the Negro do?
What do you do?
The Negro don't take you serious. They probably think you're trying to steal or some other shit. This is a system that they set up to empower their areas, their nonprofits, and their conscience, because they're doing it. They're building the low-income housing through other businesses who are taking advantage of sales tax to charity. But our people don't want to do that. See, we hadn't got to the point where we are brick and mortar. We're still philosophizing and books and debating and shit, but we can't get to the point where we're building the skyscrapers. Where we're building buildings, like Claude Anderson said above, 3 stories. We can't get beyond that because we just want to keep what we got for ourselves. And for a business to give, or even an individual to give to a nonprofit, is to their advantage. Even the people I know that make a bunch of money don't give to charity. They give to the strip club before they give to an organization that they know is working every week, every day. You understand? They'll go buy 2/5 of him. They'll go buy an ounce of weed. They'll go tricking on back pages before they give Urban Geoponics $10 to go buy some fruit for the Children's Society. You see what I'm saying? It's a nigga mentality. But guess what? I don't worry about them niggas. That's the thing. I keep it moving. We keep it moving. We know the things that are out there for nonprofit, for businesses, and we put them up and we just keep working them. I just wanted to point that out. Because that's an issue in our people. Our nonprofits, no matter where they're at, whether they're in Oakland or whether they're in Virginia, can be so powerful just by the individuals that know these things exist. These people won't donate $2. They own businesses that make a bunch of money off of Negroes. They won't donate $100. See? And what you do is, see, what I'm looking for, we need a relationship. Your business is thriving. Let some of that sales tax come inside of us, and we can help move our mission and build these houses. And now you're associated with developing our communities versus just, you know, selling hot-ass chicken wings and drinks. Book bag giveaway. Something bigger. Something that stays. Yeah. So anyway, it's important to, you know, if you want to deal with your credit, it's a whole bunch of things. That's some of the stuff that we'll be talking about in Baton Rouge this weekend, man. We'll definitely be going over, you know, people, personal credit, business credit, lines of credit, understandings. You know, I don't want to get into it, but we go in when we're on the road. But that's some of the stuff we'll be definitely going over at the summit as well. But okay.
When are you planning on pulling out?
I'm gonna probably pull out Friday. Friday morning.
Okay. All right. I'm going to do my best to get over there before you leave and get that moringa. Get over that kale and moringa. I'm going to do my best to try to get over there and get that. But I'm currently working on this new little project dealing with Five Links. And I don't know if anybody, a whole lot of people online tonight is familiar with that. But it's quite intriguing to me. And it's been working. So I'm just trying to build it up and get it going so they can generate the capital and stuff that I need so I can make some other investments and stuff and some donations to some nonprofits. I've been working on that. You know, lately, and so it's going to take a little. It's not going to take long. Cause I've been qualifying every month, so I'm going to have to bear down on it here in a minute and get it out. But you got anything else that you want to add and stuff, bro?
December 19th through the 20th, the Amana El Bay, Abundance Child, Red Pill, Blue Pill, Akili, Yusuf L, and Taj Tariq Bey, right here in Jacksonville, Florida, for 2 days. Summit of the Moors, Economic Security. Come on out, man. It's historical.
All right.
It's always historical.
All right, well, brother, historical. I'm going to have to get with you and talk with you about getting on this network here, man, and doing you a regular show.
All right, we'll talk.
I mean, you know, when you can do one, man, you know, just get your own on there so you can keep us abreast of what's going on with this industry and stuff you got going on, man. You need to be heard by this stuff on a regular basis, man. We need to keep the people plugged in and, you know, so they
listen,
know
we get one
on.
Question from the queue, so my shows ain't going to do no good.
Your shows ain't gonna do no good. Yeah, it is. You, me, Butler Child, Suniata, this ship will sail, man. You don't have to be on there and be talking by yourself. We're gonna be right there with you.
Okay, we'll work it out.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm gonna bring this thing to a close, and then I'm gonna, because I got a pretty big day tomorrow. And I got to start getting up and get ready to do the next one, go ahead and contact the rest of these folks and get them lined up and stuff so I can start concentrating on catching you before you leave town and get me some more moringa because I don't want to waste no time because I think that phone will be ringing out the hook. Everybody, I want 5 jobs. I want 6 jobs. I'm going to beat that crowd. Get me one. All right, brother. Well, I appreciate you being on and we'll be back on again talking about this stuff some more, man, because this is some serious stuff.
Okay. I appreciate the platform, brother.
All right. No problem. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be bringing this thing to a close. And we've been listening to my brother Diallo Sakur and the things that he's doing down here in Jacksonville. Super fantastic. And the brother's breaking ground the end of production and doing a lot of other things. You got to come down here and see this thing for yourself. But anyway, we're going to close this broadcast out. I appreciate everybody that has been here this evening. We're going to run a few commercials as we close, and then we're going to go ahead on out with this thing.
You know, getting out of debt should be a number one priority. And to do that, just go to newdebtelimination.com. That's www.newdebtelimination.com. But now, when it comes to owning your own business, dial 972-999-9277. Again, 972-999-9277. For a quick 2-minute message, when you're done, contact Tahaka, 904-303-9061. That's 904-303-9061. Get in business for yourself. Stop messing around. Stop going on these jobs and get into a business that you own and you control so that you can be free. Dial 9.
cause I'm making it. I gotta get money, nobody's taking it away. No, cause hammer don't play that. You try to get mine, boy, you better step back, freeze, cause you don't want none. I hustle for my muscle, and you look weak too. Yeah, I'm going for all that I can get. Kicking it at the top because I'm too legit to quit saying. Did the quit saying? Story. One hit, one you start that boy, and get ready, cause this is it. Your crew is through, and we